Hello, we are back, and this is English this time. I think
okay.
I sound better in Spanish. Do you think? I mean, what do you think?
You speak beautiful Spanish. I'm shocked at the beautiful Spanish you speak. Because we've known each other a long time.
Yeah.
I had no idea you spoke
Spanish. You're like in Southern California. You should know Spanish, man.
I know enough words to communicate.
Yeah,
palabras para comunicar.
Yeah,
¿Qué quieres que yo diga en español? Yo soy el más guapo de todo el mundo. Bien?
Eso es verdad. That is true. So how's it going, Tim?
It's good. It's great. Really
so
fun.
So is this your first Dev Days LATAM?
It is, and I've been trying to get here for years.
Because, I mean, Jorge is an amazing guy.
And I've known Jorge close to 20 years.
Jeez.
He was one of the original Microsoft regional directors before he joined Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
And, he's put on a good conference forever, and it just didn't work out with timing, but I'm finally here. I'm totally happy. Great conference.
Oh, my goodness. And the people here are just wonderful.
Amazing.
And the food, man. I mean...
The food, the pisco, but let's get back to the people here.
Yeah.
The developers here are so excitable and friendly, and it's just a good time to be a developer.
And
I'm jealous of these 20-year-olds who are just getting into this stuff.
And the thing about that I've been talking is I've talked to a lot of Latin American sort of leaders at Microsoft and people here. There is such an opportunity here because someone just told me like an hour ago, they're going to double the internet capacity for people. They're going to triple the smartphone capacity of people. Can you imagine just the opportunities for developers here?
Yeah, with so many services now in the sky, it's just a good time.
And before you had to buy a computer, now you don't. You can rent one for like pennies.
Yeah, Scott Hunter, I assume you interviewed Scott Hunter.
Not yet.
But you're going to.
So
Scott Hunter and I have gray hair, and we're standing over there yesterday, and we're saying, isn't this still just so great 20 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Good time. I'm obviously as old as you.
No, you're not.
I know, but I was trying to be nice. So let's talk a little about some of the stuff you've been working on. Tell us about your company. Tell us what you do. And then there's a really interesting application that you built for CNN.
Yeah, that's the famous one, right? So, you know, Internology's been around close to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's custom app dev, project work. You know, you don't know the Internology name, but you know the work we do, and I can't say everyone, right? But hundreds of millions of people around the world have seen Wolf Blitzer and John King and Anderson Cooper touching a big, giant Microsoft PPI device.
Yeah.
Using a beautiful piece of software, the map of the U.S., and it's all around politics, and certainly we're now building features for the presidential election, the United States presidential election.
Which is, it's very much watched right now.
And it's, well.
I mean, we're not going to get into politics, right?
Let's not go there.
But there's some craziness. Let's just leave it at that.
Like I told the audience yesterday, please don't focus on the candidates that we have put in front of you in the United States. Let's focus on the technology behind the Iowa caucus and voting and the conventions coming up, both the Democratic and Republican conventions, which we are building the voting apps right now for, and then all the new features for CNN that the world will see as John King unveils them all the way to November.
And that's interesting because, like, we live in a time where the patience is so thin for receiving data that traditionally would have taken weeks to months, right?
Yeah, there's so many interesting things about the CNN broadcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could talk for hours about it. Mm-hmm. But what's most fascinating to me and relates to this conference is there's this group of digital natives that are now really interested in the way we vote in the United States.
Yeah.
And they're starting to learn that, hey, we really don't vote. Delegates vote for us.
That's right.
And
parties.
And they're questioning, you know, why do we do that? You know, and it's because we've always done it for over 200 years. But if you think it through, we don't really need to do that anymore. We have cloud, we have smartphones, we have IVR systems. There's no real technical reason why the entire United States of America can't vote for the person that they want. There's no technical reason. It's just that we have these strange
machinery.
Traditions.
Well, you're saying that the machinery was created 200 years ago because the lack of technology did not enable the kind of things that we can do.
Right. We couldn't communicate from California to New York. Just impossible.
So a group of people had to send one guy. to communicate on behalf of Californians.
Right. Or,
you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's
so it parallels directly to, like, during the Iowa caucus, and I could explain the Iowa caucus, and I barely understand the process myself, but Iowa goes first, and they pick their presidential candidates. And for 200 years, they've done it in a very manual way, and typically all the states follow along. Well, this year we built the voting app for them, the first year ever, you know, 20 apps actually, because all platform, Xamarin, right? Uh-huh. So all platform, all device, so 20 different apps. And they all voted across Iowa and picked their candidates. But what was most interesting is we built a portal so that the world could watch. Actually, we built it for the political people, but Wolf Blitzer announced it on CNN. Yeah. So the world, these digital natives, were watching in real time as the voting went. They were seeing the Sanders and the Clintons and the Trump and all that, and they're watching the districts. Yeah, they're watching it happen in real time. The good news is, you know, it's an awesome app, beautiful portal, HTML5 and all that. The bad news is, well, which is actually good news, we had no idea the amount of scale we were going to have to do. And the average session length, Seth, was almost an hour. These people are sitting on...
Oh my gosh, the bounce rate is like 30... Like,
right. They're sitting on this thing, watching TV and watching our app at the same time. We're pumping 3 terabytes a second through the API to Azure, right?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's crazy scale. Crazy scale. But, you know, elasticity, right? This is what we could do these days.
Sure.
It was like U2, the Rolling Stones, Beyonce, and Madonna all announcing concerts at the same time.
Or even being in a concert at the same time. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount. Because, I mean, the people, like Iowa caucuses, the volume of data can't be that much. I mean, there's, what, several million votes, am I guessing? Or
yeah, I actually don't even know, but that would be a legitimate guess, I guess. Actually, because the delegates are voting, it would only be like a couple thousand.
And
right?
So you think, okay, well, that's an easy problem on the back end side, but to consider now the front end, terabytes of data he's talking about are the people downloading this data and watching.
Right, watching on the web in a beautiful HTML5 app that, you know, is got all these 3D graphics and all that stuff.
So let's talk a little bit about what you've got on the screen here. Let's see, what is this? How did you build it? What's going on? Maybe you can give us a little sense of architecture.
Sure, this is obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious, but this is demo app locally installed on my computer.
Okay.
This is test data. So let's not all get freaked out about, you know.
He's not making any political statements.
Right. And Clinton doesn't have 1,297 delegate votes and superdelegates. This is the old version of the app. I'm not allowed, because CNN, you know, likes to announce their new features.
Sure, sure.
You know, and do a big hoopla about it. But this is the old version of that. This is a WinRT app as opposed to, you know, a UWP app. Uh-huh. Ultimately, this will be a UWP app, and ultimately, we'll do it here.
Yeah, for Xamarin.
Right.
Cool.
Right. But everybody knows this app. This is WPF, and it's a lot of DirectX. You know, this is not for the faint of heart.
Well, of course not, because, I mean, if you are render, because anytime you render that, there's a piece of XAML element that needs to get parsed. Every time you resize, things need to get parsed, right? So you're doing DirectX calls directly?
Right, and straight to the metal, because on broadcast TV to 250 million people, there can't be any waiting or pausing, right? In fact, this app is also interesting because it can't have 999 uptime. It has to be 100% up, never crash, never delay. 60, I think our SLA is 60 frames a second, 100% uptime.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know, it's broadcast TV in HD. You know, you can't have John King hung out to dry while he's waiting for our app, you know, waiting on a thread.
Someone's going to get fired, you know,
Right, yeah. So interesting stories about that, because, you know, we're really pressing it. There's a lot of code in here, and we're pressing it. This is probably God's gift to WPF.
Yeah.
Right, and DirectX. And, you know, we said, well, if we have issues, we'll just recycle the app during commercial break. And CNN said, you don't understand. There are no commercial breaks. It's 13 hours of coverage on election day. So you have to keep that thing up. So we said, okay, we will.
Oh my
And we
God.
Do. How, and we do.
How do you do that? Like, I can't
Brilliant
even keep
up. Engineers at Internology. There's a lot of them involved in this. And, you know, there's a lot of work into this app. You know, that it's just not acceptable for it to be down ever.
But the thing about it, like, I'm looking at this app, and if those of you that are home that are looking at this, there is an inherent sort of beauty to it. When I first saw it, I thought it was like, oh, look at Tim getting a screen grab from CNN. This is not a screen grab. This is an interactive program with some beautiful graphics that has to be managed with a finger immediately.
Yes. And there's more, right?
Oh, because it's like we're selling something.
Obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious. I'm talking to a local SQL Server instance here, but on the broadcast, you know, they're getting live feeds, mostly from the AP, but live feeds from everywhere. So it's pumping data to it. And these people on CNN, you would think it's contrived and rehearsed.
Uh-huh.
You know, the information comes so quickly that John King's talking to the producer. He actually has a content management app. So if something goes down quickly, like during the last election, it was the marijuana vote in Washington. You know, boom, he content manages, and suddenly it says, you know, marijuana vote and all the stats. So it's taking static data, live data, a lot of moving parts.
And do they flip to something really quickly and expect it to just... Is there stuff that's happening off the cuff that you're like, oh, wow, we didn't plan for that. Let's hope it works.
Yeah, and there's an elaborate amount of applications, right? Here's the race to the 51, right? And then, you know, Electoral College. You know, these are all individual apps, and this is how John King calls them with his finger. I'm not going to touch that one because I know these are the new features that CNN hasn't announced yet.
That's right. This is amazing. So talk about sort of the engineering, like, how do you do this? Because I'm guessing that this is not something you write in a weekend, right?
This is not something you write in a weekend, and it takes software architecture and a collaborative effort. But we're very lucky in that our customer, our CNN customer, is driving the features. John King is an amazing person. I mean, he's like, what if we do a feature that, you know, compares the Republicans versus the and we go, God, what a great idea. Yeah, we could do that.
That's amazing.
Whereas typically, you know, you're kind of helping your customer along, like, hey, we could do this, and they go, oh yeah. It's the other way around with CNN. They're so good at their domain. And frankly, we're experts in programming, right?
Yeah.
We're not experts in politics. We need, you know, these experts to
tell
us.
Or what would even be interesting to talk about on a show.
Right, right. And I've demoed this app, Seth, probably 100 times, and I'm still terrible at demoing it. Notice I'm not going into a lot of functionality here because I could barely use the app. I should give a shout out here because people are wondering, why is Stanford University on the map?
Uh-huh.
Well, it just so happens that Dan Hannon, the dev lead, uh-huh, the director of engineering at Internology, went to Stanford. So he's done a little trick on me, and I hate Stanford because I'm a Notre Dame guy. So thank you, Dan. You're famous.
And every year, Stanford and Notre Dame go at it.
And every year, we seem to take the second place in that game. Yeah.
So this is really interesting. I love the interactivity. I love the beauty of these apps. And the interesting thing is also, like, the engineering quality that needs to go into it. I mean, 100% uptime, that's difficult.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, so one might speculate that throughout the life of this app, which is now, years old, that we've exposed some problems in the platform that Microsoft immediately fixes, mm-hmm, right? Because when you press it this hard, you're going to expose a few issues in the platform itself.
So I'm going to ask my producer, is there anyone in the keynote area, or do we still have some time? We have some time, which is great, because I wanted to move on from this, because the title of our talk right now is cognitive services.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that.
I know. And so I wanted to get into this because this was interesting.
This is a great story.
People see this all the time, right, for watching CNN. Right. I wanted to know, like, the man behind the legend of some of this cool stuff. Let's talk a little bit about cognitive services. Tell me about your thoughts.
Yeah, so this is my new passion, right? I'm totally into this, and I'm into it for many reasons. First, we should explain it. A couple weeks ago at Build, Microsoft announced easily 15, maybe 20 new services, cloud-based, machine learning, artificial intelligence, and they're just a restful call, right? So any developer, any platform, any tool set could call these things. And My joke is, you know, I know nothing about machine learning, but I can call their vision API, point it at a picture, and it'll identify the objects in the picture. Well, that's, and the picture gets smarter and smarter, and the vision API gets smarter and smarter about what it's seeing, and all I'm doing is a RESTful call, right? That's freaking amazing. Oh, by the way, it's free.
Is it free?
Yeah, yeah, all the APIs are free. Right now, if you want to take them to production and to scale, like some of the applications we build, you know, you're going to need to sign up for some Azure time. But for developers to jump into this technology, it's all free right now. There's 22 APIs. I'm into the vision stuff and the facial recognition and demographic profiling and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, all that intelligent Bing stuff is in there. All the audio stuff. Remember it build the in the keynote with the Saqib, yeah, blind guy?
Yeah.
You know, that's just that app, and I go like this because he uses a gesture on those glasses. He goes like this, and it basically tells a number of APIs. It does a number of RESTful calls that says, you know, what am I looking at? Or what's in front of
me? Does it take a picture and then just do
it? Rapid fires some pictures, sends them to the API, they're decomposed, comes back, and it speaks to him. You're looking at a skateboarder, a young man who seems to be in his teenage years, and he's doing a trick, right? And Saqib will be talking, and he does this, and he says, well, it looks like Seth Juarez. I'm 46% confident you're talking to Seth Juarez, and he looks like he's interested, but I think he's only 50% interested in what you're talking about, right? Just brilliant stuff. Just, you know, artificial intelligence and you know, Microsoft has thrown the world at this thing. You know, you've got Microsoft Research. Mm-hmm. Still, Microsoft spends more in R&D than any company by far. So you've got those PhDs. You've got the Azure Machine Learning mm-hmm. folks in there.
Which is cool stuff.
And then they now recently got a bunch of business people. Which means they're going fast. This whole thing has happened in 11 months. All these APIs, 11 months. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about when we first started programming. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 years to get an application out was very acceptable.
And then
with 2,000 people. Yeah. Right. Now we're you know, a PM and a couple developers, and we're building amazing software with these awesome tools, cross-platform, and leveraging what these PhDs, the domain experts in Microsoft, mm-hmm. are doing for us.
And that's interesting, right? Because I'm a data science guy, right? I love machine learning. I think, and I have said for years that machine learning needs to be commoditized. The commoditization of artificial intelligence is gonna change.
Well, then you made a bold prediction that has come true.
Yeah, maybe I should like get a job with Microsoft.
You know what I'm saying? I think you have the perfect job already.
I love this stuff.
So let me give you just one more use case.
Sure, absolutely.
My Spanish, as you said, is mm-hmm. terrible, and I try to communicate. And there's some logistics here because, you know, for an American to come to Peru, you just don't come to Lima, do a conference, and fly home. Well, at least I don't.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to Machu Picchu, mm-hmm. right? So I have to call these Microsoft people here in Lima, and say, you know, work out the logistics of getting there, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I'm on an airplane. I'm on United Airlines at 35,000 feet. I buy internet access, right?
Yeah.
You with me? I get a Skype call going to Jorge. I'm speaking in English. In real time, it's translating it to Spanish so he can understand me. He's speaking in Spanish back to me, and it's translating to English. And we're doing it real time. I'm in an airplane at 35,000 feet. Is that awesome or what?
That's like cognitive services. That's like George Jetson type stuff.
Exactly.
It might as well be a spaceship.
Well, the universal communicator. Is that what they called it on Star Trek?
Yeah.
It's the universal communicator.
That's amazing.
Universal translator. That's what it was.
So you have been around the industry for many years.
Yeah, since 1991, working for with Microsoft, if you can believe that.
That's amazing. So tell us because we have some time. They're taking forever, so we can chat. I'm excited. Tell us about sort of the evolution of technology as you've seen it, and then maybe project out a couple, 5, 10 years.
Okay. Wow, that's tough. Well, you know, when I first started programming professionally, you couldn't press F5. Right, compiles cost money.
What do you mean by that? Like you had to
Like COBOL, right?
Did it take a day to compile
well, something? Well, no, a COBOL job cost money to do a compile.
Really?
Oh, are you don't go back this far?
No.
Oh, you'll love this then. So yeah, if you had a syntax error in your COBOL, you got yelled at or you got fired, right? Right? We went through our COBOL code with a fine tooth and comb.
Because there was no autocomplete, there was no syntax squiggle.
No, you went in paper, right? And you make sure it matched on your, you know, green screen. And then you submitted the job and it didn't run immediately, it ran at night. And if it succeeded, you're golden, right? It compiled, it was binary, and then you could run it, put it in production, whatever. Now cut to today, F5, you're stepping through code, the IntelliSense, it's auto-correcting, refactoring, right? You couldn't do that back then. I maintain, and the developers in Internology hate me for saying this, but I maintain that within a decade, we're going to get software architecture for free. I mean, we still have to do software architecture. The CNN app has beautiful software architecture, uh-huh. right? Cloud, architecting for cloud is legitimate.
Right.
I mean, you can make mistakes.
Oh, yeah,
and
clearly.
Cost a lot of money, right? Egress data is very expensive. I maintain, and I could be totally wrong, because mm-hmm. I'm the one who predicted the death of the internet.
Really? When did you predict that?
Yeah, well, I worked on the first Microsoft Internet server, believe it or not. I worked on IS4.
Oh, wow.
And I said at the time, like, this is so stupid. This would be like mid-90s. Why would we do this form submit in HTML? This isn't programming. This is stupid. And then if you knew about beautiful binary protocols, which we used to use on mainframes, you go, why would we do this disconnected chatty TCP/IP thing?
Right.
This is stupid. This will never last. But what I didn't know and didn't predict is that Cisco would make a bad thing worse by inventing that first, 8550 router?
Uh-huh.
Right? So we basically have this spaghetti mess of disconnected chatty protocol, routing 300 times just to do a simple, one simple web page.
Yeah.
Right? So it's completely inefficient, but it works.
That's interesting.
And now we're stuck with it. And the good news is, I also said, well, you'll never be able to do in HTML what you can do in Win32, right? That's outrageous. Well, guess what? The CNN app is at cnnmagicwall.com.
Uh-huh.
So you can follow along with CNN and John King
uh-huh.
in a beautiful HTML5 app that has 3D in it, and it runs in every browser.
The JavaScript's changed everything.
So I was wrong there, too. So I'm always wrong.
Well, let's go to the next one. This is you're going to be one out of three for sure.
Yeah. Well, I've made some predictions that have come true, but I really think that programming, being a developer, is just going to get easier and easier and easier, and we're going to enable the masses to do it. Whereas when I started, you kind of had to love it and be kind of a rocket scientist to be a programmer. Now, shoot, Grandma Huckabee could jump in there and be effective. Shoot, the SDK for cognitive services, uh-huh. they have all these sample apps, full code, right? Pull them right out of GitHub, F5.
But here's the thing, even on Azure ML, on your specific model, you can go to deploy, and they write the exact code that you need for your exact model.
Isn't that amazing?
It's impressive.
It's so impressive.
So you're
so fun.
So let's dive in a little bit more into how do you foresee not having to know about architecture, because you'll still have to know about it, but how are you going to see that sort of not necessarily go away, but how is that going to be polished up so that people don't have to think about it as much?
Yeah, it's all about the tool set. We as developers, we love the tool. Mm-hmm. The tool is our life. Visual Studios, it's been around forever. Mm-hmm. We love it. I just think that we keep getting so much that I think that the software of the future is solely going to be in domain expertise.
Right.
Right. The other interesting thing is if we're continuing to talk about the future.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because if you map Moore's Law against, Moore's Law would be transistors
per,
right. And it's still executing. 50, 60 years later,
did
Moore's
it, did
Law.
It, did it flatten out a little bit?
Not much.
Okay.
It's still executing. But if you map that against calculations per second that we get in CPUs,
mm-hmm.
with me?
Mm-hmm.
I have a great graph to show this. you can see that within 5 years that some of these CPUs will be computing calculations per second at the speed of the human brain. That doesn't mean machines will be smarter. It's just they will calculate as quickly. We're on that path. Think about, right?
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
But it feels like, I don't know, I'm like a get off my lawn kind of programmer.
That's me.
We're wasting all these compute cycles on such dumb things sometimes.
Yeah. Well, here's the other inherent problem. So we've got these CPUs that are so awesome, but we still don't have a battery technology to run them.
Right.
The winner is going to invent the battery technology. Right. Whoever invents that wins. I still have to charge this thing every day.
I feel like we see like these new devices that charge by just placing them on something. Do you think we'll ever see like a device that like charges just because the sun hits it? Well, we have that, but it's just not fast enough.
Seems legitimate, right? I mean, I'm obviously not an electrical engineer. Uh-huh. I'm not a scientist. It seems like there's a lot of smart people working on that problem. Just like there's a lot of smart people working on cancer. We do a lot of cancer research software, right? And, oh man, we are making cancer a managed disease. You know, there's a few cancers we haven't figured out yet.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, my wife's a breast cancer survivor. And she's alive today. And you know my wife, of course, Kelly.
Yeah, she's awesome. I don't know why she chose you, man. She's a saint.
That's what everyone says. Uh-huh. But she's a survivor because of amazing cancer drugs, right? And you know, when you apply machine learning to these problems, you fix things very quickly. It suddenly becomes a better humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the blind guy seeing.
And that demo was amazing to me.
He's an amazing. He did a session at Build. Like, here's how we built it.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that awesome? Did you also see the sign language one?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You need to see Harry Shum from Microsoft. You know, I don't know what his title is. Godlike PhD type guy. Fellow.
Uh-huh.
He had a Brazilian guy come and do a demo, a cognitive services demo. Okay, and the ultimate demo was he was speaking in Portuguese. Cognizant Services was translating that into English, which translated that into American Sign Language. So he was speaking in Portuguese. You got to look up Harry Shum at Build. You got to see this demo. Speaking in Portuguese and, you know, Americans, avatar doing, you know, I can't sign, but, you know, doing American Sign Language back.
That's crazy. Like, I did research in NLP, specifically machine translation, and it is not an easy problem.
Real time, by the way.
I know.
Software real time, not hardware real time, but software real time.
And it's not an easy problem to do in not real time.
Yeah, right.
Because there's this training, and so it's just amazing to me that it's happening. So now let's focus now on internology. Tell us about the projects you can tell us about, obviously, that you've worked on that are really cool that people might not know about.
The funny one? Well, yeah, you know, the unfortunate thing about internology is so much of our work is protected by NDA.
Yeah.
So, you're going to see, I believe, the world is going to see on broadcast TV, like, God's gift to data visualization.
Really? Do you invent a new visualization or something?
Yeah, we are crunching a ton of data as it relates to the United States elections. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans and Democrats are obviously customers for this, but I believe it'll go out to broadcast TV. We are currently, I might as well say it. One might speculate. That a company like Internology is the exact partner to build HoloLens apps, right?
Perhaps.
It makes total sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you've been working on, like, Kinect stuff?
Yeah, Kinect forever. All that Nui stuff, touching it, waving at it, speaking to it, thinking at it like Jennifer Deerett did at this conference. Well, one might speculate that HoloLens is going to be our thing, right? The trig and calculus, that's our thing, right?
And I bet some of their engineers, brilliant.
So there is a Fortune 50 company that has invented a technology whereby a scientist creates a molecule, does the math and all that, creates a molecule, it's a cancer drug, right? And it comes out of this machine and it's a powder or an aerosol or a liquid, but they actually create a molecule.
Wow.
Right? So we are going to front end that with HoloLens, and the scientists will be walking into the giant molecule in a holographic experience and pulling proteins. You know, obviously I'm not a molecular biologist,
sure, sure.
But pulling proteins and atoms and all this other stuff, modeling the molecule, creating it in a hologram, right? And then sending it off to this machine. And of course you have to have all the business rules around it. You can't have a compound that explodes and, you know, things like that, right?
But then you have to have like some chemistry totally. Gal at your place to understand the rules, because you can't, for example, if you know your chemistry, there's certain molecules that just can't bind together.
Exactly. And so that's why we depend on these SMEs, subject matter experts, from this Fortune 50 company, big pharma company, mm-hmm. right?
One might speculate.
Yeah. Right? That, will help us build the rules, the analysis, the machine learning behind this type of thing.
And the interesting thing is that now subject matter experts with the NUI, with the new UI, new visualizations, will be more rapidly able to inform the machine as to what things are proper and what aren't. Instead of, before it was a green screen, you're typing stuff in the boxes that you don't know, but now you're actually interacting with the physical thing virtually.
Yeah, right. So we went from touch, and we made all those mistakes. Mm-hmm. Remember, Windows wasn't designed for touch. So when we first got touch in, what would that be, Windows Vista in 2007? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2007, we first got touch. But since it wasn't designed for touch, it was difficult to hit the start button with your finger. It was impossible to hit the little red X. Mm-hmm. Right, and then that iPad thing came out, and it changed the paradigm by which we use computers. They built this beautiful browser that you could use by touch, and it changed the way people think, right? So, and then they see it on broadcast TV, and now Grandma Huckabee suddenly knows how to use touch on
a computer. Well, you know, producer's telling me that time's up. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
We could talk forever.
This isn't a treasure. Treasure trove of knowledge. Thanks for watching me. I think we're getting Donovan Q&A, DevOps coming up right after this, or I think directly. We'll send over to it right now. De regreso.